In coming months, two bonus payments of up to $400 each will be paid to aged care workers, including those providing direct care, food or cleaning services.
Scott Morrison promising extra payments for aged care workers. I'm sure you heard about it. But is it really enough to address the critical shortage of staff in the sector? Stephen Ducker is the director of the Health and Aged Care Program at the Grattan Institute.
It's a derisory amount, Richard, and doesn't address the fundamental problem. Basically, the Royal Commission into Aged Care Quality and Safety identified that there are serious problems in the aged care industry, difficult to get good staff, and the reality is that staff in aged care are paid less than other parts of the health system, and more importantly, they're often paid less than a burger flipper or a person in retail. And so the jobs in aged care are really complex. We want really good people, really dedicated people, and we're just not paying them enough. So basically the unions have said we need to have a work value case to check and to assess what the fair price is for a worker in aged care, and they put in a case for a 25% pay rise. Now, of course, that's just what the unions have asked for. It's not what the Fair Work Commission has determined. And they're now working with employers to see if they can get an agreement with the employers about what the facts are. And they're making some progress. They've just lodged some documents in the last couple of weeks. But basically everybody, employers and unions alike, agree there has to be a lift in wages.
We'll get to this Fair Work Commission thing a bit later, Stephen, but I have to say, when I looked at this after the Prime Minister's speech, I was a bit staggered. My 18-year-old daughter, about to go to uni, is earning more in a shop with very little training than people like personal care workers in aged care.
So, Richard, we looked at this. We looked at a number of awards, and what your daughter's experience is absolutely right. The relativities are all stuffed up. The responsibility in a retail is nowhere near the responsibility in aged care, and we're not actually, on any reasonable sense, paying what these people are worth.
$22 an hour is where it starts for personal care workers. There's been numerous reports on this, Stephen. It's a very well-established case, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the workforce in aged care is 80% women and about a fifth from different linguistic backgrounds.
It's also that the education levels are low. We don't have any requirement for people to have even a certificate from the vocational education system. So it's got all the characteristics of basically people who are being ignored because of their women, because they're from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, because they've got lower levels of education.
How much is this down to the model, the way this is funded by the government?
So there are lots of areas where the government is the main funder. Basically all of healthcare, 70% of all the money in the healthcare industry comes from government. But in the case of aged care, it's a bit higher than that. And so the employers are saying, we can't actually negotiate increased pay unless the government steps up and says, we will actually pay what is a fair and reasonable wage so you can afford to pay the workers.
Mm. At the moment, there is very high levels of casualisation, very poor levels of job security.
Richard, this is another problem with the industry, quite separate from the wage problem. And what we saw in COVID is many, many workers are working in more than one site. They get COVID in one site and take it to the next. And so the workforce is further disempowered, and we have further problems of quality of care because of the casualisation, because of the low numbers of hours people are working per person. There's no continuity with the residents and so on.
There was a workforce strategy document in 2018. The case has been before the Fair Work Commission since, I think, the end of 2020. What should the government be doing?
At the moment, the employers and the unions are actually working quite well together. But both sides have said we need the funder, the government, in the room at the same time. And the government has said, no, we don't want to have any part of this. We'll just post you a letter which says here's some information. They're not actually serious about addressing the fundamental problem.
It seems clear that there's only going to be an increasing need for aged care workers the way we're going.
That's right. Both in terms of home care especially, but also in terms of residential care. Even though the proportion of older people in residential care has been going down for the last decade, there's a lot more older people around, and so we're going to be needing more aged care services in the future than we have in the past.
I'm wondering if it says something about us that where there have been complaints, families have complained, but we've basically been content as a society to do it this way, even though we know it's not being done well enough.
So I think that's one of the great things the Royal Commission did. It just lifted the lid and said to Australians, this is the aged care system you're currently paying for. Do you think that's good enough? And basically everybody was horrified. And they said, wow, something needs to be done. The outpouring of support for actually addressing the fundamental problems was pretty dramatic, and it's obviously something government has to do, and so far the Commonwealth Government has put its head in the sand.
Mm. Now, I understand there is a law change coming, Stephen. What opportunities does that present here?
Well, there are a couple of things that are being planned and developed at the moment. The first is the Aged Care Act that currently regulates all of this is about 30 years old, and it needs a total rewrite. In fact, it needs to be thrown out and start again. But the fundamental issue in the Aged Care Act, it needs to be based on the rights of older Australians. At the moment, it's written with this Stalinist ideology about controlling spending and limiting the number of services and so on, and how many services are allocated. And that ideology is totally wrong, and we need to throw it out and start again. There's another thing that's happening, and that's a payment model change, and that actually, I think, will provide an opportunity for further reform.
How might we change the model to make it better?
So what the new payment model does is it revises the categories that are used for paying owners of residential aged care, and it introduces an independent body which will set the relativities and set the prices. And the virtue of that is, if there is a wage rise, it will flow through the system and then automatically will affect what is paid to the owners of residential aged care. The only problem is there's a couple of years gap between when the owners have to start paying and when it flows through automatically, and that's the thing that the owners are really worried about.
Stephen, you're an expert in this area. You've been in and around it for decades. Are you optimistic that we're going to get this right?
Richard, unfortunately, I'm not optimistic. For the government to stand up and say, oh, we think the answer is to give away $800 once off, just shows they do not understand the fundamental problem. A once-off $800 or $400 once and $400 again is not doing anything systematic. It's not addressing any of the problems. It's not addressing what the unions want, what the owners want, and what the Royal Commission wants. And so it just shows they really don't understand.
Stephen Duckett from the Grattan Institute.